In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, March 29th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. 20 Democratic senators have now joined with Minority Leader Chuck Schumer in supporting a filibuster of the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, reports the Christian Post. That procedural hurdle requires 60 votes in the 100-seat Senate to allow a confirmation vote by a simple majority. Republicans control the Senate 52-48. The committee is due to vote next Monday on sending the nomination to the full Senate. President Donald Trump wants to free America's energy companies from the burdensome and unnecessary regulations implemented by former President Obama. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt appeared on Fox and Friends yesterday morning.
For the last several years, we've had an anti-fossil fuels, anti-growth, anti-jobs type of approach to how we do environmental regulation. And so it's good to see the president coming to the EPA to set a new course, to say we're going to be about pro-growth, pro-jobs, and pro-environment.
Team Trump cites statistics and anecdotes to show the dangers of sanctuary cities, reports Fox News. A college football prospect gunned down in his own yard. A young convenience store clerk killed over a pack of cigarettes. And a young woman murdered in front of her parents in a popular tourist area of San Francisco. All of them lost their lives at the hands of illegal aliens. Attorney General Jeff Sessions spoke at a press conference yesterday.
DUIs, assaults, burglaries, drug crimes, gang rapes, crimes against children, and murderers. Countless loved ones would not be grieving today if these policies of sanctuary cities were ended.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti vowed to fight Trump every step of the way, despite White House threats of pulling their city's federal funding. Every staffer at the Democratic National Committee has been asked to submit a resignation letter by April 15th at the behest of the new DNC chairman, Tom Perez, who hopes to relaunch their failed brand, reports NBC News. If Jesus has changed your life and set you free from homosexual practice, your testimony is not welcome on Vimeo, not now, not ever. And if you see homosexuality as another aspect of sexual brokenness, something for which Jesus died, and something from which you can be healed, your opinion is not welcome on Vimeo. Case closed. Those are the words of Dr. Michael Brown, nationally syndicated Christian talk show host and author of Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going and How to Turn the Tide. David Kyle Foster, director of Pure Passion Ministries and himself a former homosexual, said, quote, "This is pure religious bigotry and censorship," unquote. More details in our transcript today at theworldview.com. In just 2 days, members at Christ Fellowship, an evangelical megachurch in Southeast Florida, prepared over 300,000 meals that will be sent to the refugee families displaced by the Islamic State terrorist organization and the ongoing civil war in Syria, reports the Christian Post. Dr. James Dobson is warning parents about the pro-homosexual message that Disney is promoting in their new live-action version of Beauty and the Beast. Dobson said, quote, "I am appalled by Disney's blatant, agenda-driven decision to introduce homosexuality into a children's classic, which originally did not include this theme. Do not be deceived. This is not something to be dismissed as trivial. These moves, done in the name of diversity, are an invasion into the intimate role of parenting. I know I will be labeled a bigot by the true bigots of the mainstream media for believing in the Bible's definition of marriage," unquote. Disney has clearly abandoned God's design found in Genesis 2:24. A man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Yesterday, we cited the Christian Post report that Timothy Miller, a Mennonite missionary, had been sentenced to a year in prison for his part in helping Lisa, a former lesbian who had become a Christian, to leave the country with her daughter Isabella back in 2009. The judge had indicated that he would turn custody of the girl over to Lisa's former female partner, Janet Jenkins, an active lesbian, if she continued to defy a series of visitation orders. That's why Timothy helped Lisa and her daughter get to Nicaragua. Thanks to a Worldview listener, we have an encouraging update. Timothy Miller has just been released from prison for 1 year with parole, so he can once again be with his family. For more information, check out the website millercase.org. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Wednesday, March 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five and a pastor of a church out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack in studio with me today from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to talk about the millennials and their worldview. Worldviews matter, friends, more than church attendance. We're going to make that point strongly. Granted, America has a church attendance of about 38%, down from 45%, starting to drop, and will continue to drop. And one of the ways we know it's going to drop is because the worldview of the Mosaics, of the millennial generation, is much, much, much more humanistic than the previous generation, much less likely to be that of a biblical worldview. And so when we're looking at those who might support something of an evangelical Christian, biblical position in, let's say, culture or government, there's a very, very, very low percentage of the population that maintains anything of a semblance of a biblical worldview. And that, of course, is why we air this program and why we encourage people to teach a biblical worldview to their children such that perhaps the next generation may follow in the Christian faith. Now, when we say worldview, Bill, what we're talking about is a basic perspective concerning the existence of God, the creation of God, the nature of man, the fall of man, man's sin, God's redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, and he is the great reconciler between man and God and brings his salvation to us through his death and resurrection. So that's our worldview. That's our view of reality. That's our view of man's problem, of man's purpose, God's existence. It's our view of everything, including, of course, the message of redemption.
Yeah, you just need to ask a person two questions. What's the nature of God and what's the nature of man? And the answers to those two questions will reveal one's worldview, because there's not that many choices out there. There's basically four categories. There's theism, and underneath that you have the denominations of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Mm-hmm. Then there's atheism or atheism, and you have various denominations under that, including Marxism, you know, communism. You have, you know, have atheism, humanism. There's the polytheistic view. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's many gods,
Hindu, yep, Shintoism, etc.,
Mormonism, right. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, pantheism, mm-hmm, that everything is God.
So that's pretty much, yeah, those are the choices. And of course, it turns out not everybody's right. Relativism is the other religion
that teaches
that, yeah, it's coexist, right? You see the bumper sticker. The assumption that all religions are equal, many ways to God, many truths. But that worldview itself undermines itself, because at the moment you say that there can be no absolute truth, well, you've just made a statement concerning truth.
Yeah, it's a self-defeating argument.
So it defeats itself, right?
So there's only really four categories, but two main big questions: nature of God, nature of man. You answer those two questions, I'll be able to tell you what your worldview is. And it's not magic. It's just that there's a very limited number of answers to those big questions. Either God is or God isn't.
Turns out not everybody's right. Now, the devil wants to create many religions and many deceptions. And so it turns out that there is a devil. That's part of our worldview, that there is a devil. And he has aided in the construction of many different ways to deceive mankind. And yet there is one truth, and that comes from God. And he has, by his grace, by his mercy, revealed his truth to us in his word. Well, today we're going to take a look at George Barna's American Culture and Faith Institute surveys. These are some recent surveys that have just come out. In fact, this one was done in February of this year, sample size 1,000 adults. And these are randomized surveys. I tend to trust the things that George Barna produces. And you know, there's some really interesting things, and this is a point we've made before, is that the millennial generation is falling off the cliff when it comes to a subscription to a biblical worldview. The Mosaic generation, even worse, that is the younger generation, 18 to 25 years of age, even worse than the millennial generation, which are that generation, approximately 18 to 36, 38 years of age. While 16% of the boomer and the builder generations possess a biblical worldview, it's only 7% of baby busters, 4% of millennials, and in a recent survey from Barna, only 0.5% of the real youngers, that is the 18 to 26 crowd, maintain a biblical worldview. Now, that's a significant decrease. That means 75% of the generation that maintain a basic semblance of a biblical worldview no longer do so in the millennial generation.
You know what that means,
and,
Kevin?
And maybe as much as 95%, between 75 and 95% of that generation that was still somewhat true to a biblical worldview no longer is. The apostasy rate in a single generation, 75 to 95%, anywhere between 75 and 95% of the parents' generation that maintained some semblance of a biblical worldview no longer does in the millennial generation. Friends, that means that church attendance, at least church attendance of those who maintain something of a biblical worldview, will be somewhere between 0.5% and 4%, according to the American Culture and Faith Institute surveys.
It means I have job security in what I do in training students to think and live in accord with a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Yep. And, but it's not, it shouldn't be a surprise to people, because it's never been a majority that has led the culture. It's the remnant.
That's true.
Even among born-again Christians, self-proclaimed born-again Christians, the percentage who have a biblical worldview is only 31%.
Among the silent generation, it was probably closer to 25 to 30% of the silent generation. We're talking about those born in the 1920s and 1930s. Among the silent generation, it would have been higher, 25 to 30%. By the time you get to the baby boomers, you're down around 16%. Now, down around 4% and heading towards 0.5% that maintain a biblical worldview. You say, well, how does that happen? How does this apostasy occur? Of course, it occurs under the sovereignty of God. This does not take God by surprise. God certainly is over all things. So we understand God is sovereign in these things. But, Bill, I think there are some human causes, and education, of course, is probably the leading cause. You think about what happens as you secularize the universities, as you secularize Harvard in the 1700s, and then on to Yale, Princeton, and Dartmouth, and all the other Ivy Leagues. And then you maintain government control over these schools, take prayer out of the schools to be sure that kids are taught a form of knowledge that does not fear the true and living God, does not acknowledge the true and living God at all in the science class, the history class, etc. You're going to create a materialistic age in which the apostasy rate is between 75 and 95%. Between 75% and 95% of those kids who grew up in a Christian family in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s no longer maintain anything of even a semblance of a biblical worldview by the time you hit the 2017s and 2018s. My friends, this is a 75 to 85 to 95% apostasy rate just over the last generation for the millennials, and it comes by way of a different ideology, a different educational approach, a different form of discipleship that happens through media and education. Yes, media matters, education matters, and we've been saying this on this program for a very long time. Parents who don't want to see 4 out of 5 of their children, grandparents who don't want to see 4 out of 5 of their grandchildren walking away from the faith and going going to hell probably would do well to disciple their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Bill, these worldview analyses, worldview-based curriculum is absolutely essential. That's one reason we're putting together a biblical worldview curriculum in partnership with Masters Books.
That's one reason I do what I do with the Worldview Academy and training students through camps and also at the Abby Bridger program, where students take 2 semesters after their high school career to get grounded in a biblical worldview. I just had a conversation last night, Kevin, with a father of some young children. His children are in grade school, and he was taking exception when I said that the schools basically are the enemies of the parents, and that the schools are teaching a non-biblical worldview. And I asked him, would you give me your child for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, 180 days a year, if you knew I was a cult member, if you know I was a Mormon? And he said, well, yes, because I'm confident my child can withstand that. And I'm going, that's not possible. It's impossible for that to happen. For your child not to be affected by that. Okay, here's the problem. The only place where I see the children of Israel educated by pagans is as a result of God's judgment against the fathers. And you know what? I think we may be in God's judgment when you look at these stats, because we are educating, the vast majority of Christians are sending their students to the secular schools to be educated by pagans. And the fear of God is not the basis for education in the secular school system.
It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. We don't want to send our kids out there in milk bun pajamas, especially in this war of the worldviews that's going on. Friends, it's a bloodbath out there. It's a bloodbath, all right? Parents, wake up to the realities of the worldview wars. The zeitgeist is ripping off 75 to 95% of the millennials, and there's hardly any semblance of a Christian faith left at the point at which we have abandoned our kids towards the wrong worldviews. We've given them up to the nurture and the admonition of the wrong worldviews. The Bible says, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I'd encourage you to check out worldview.org. That's Worldview Academy, worldview.org.
Yes, it is.
And also our website for our new biblical worldview curriculum. Now, we don't have it all up there yet. It's going to be up there in about 2 to 3 weeks. We're real close to getting our worldview curriculum on our website. But we've got some stuff up there right now if you check it out at generations.org. Be back in just a moment. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
And
And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Wow, some real insightful, important statistics from the American Culture and Faith Institute surveys that George Barna oversees. And this has just come out just last month, friends. Sample size 1,000 on this millennial survey. And here's what's helpful here, Bill, is that on various questions, I think it's 25 to 30 specifically worldview-geared questions, the millennials answer the question, then the other adults answer the question, and what you find is that there are some significant drops. And friends, the reason we're dealing with this is because worldview matters more than church attendance, all right? Now, the church attendance may be kind of higher, but I'm not interested in that as much as what these people actually believe.
In fact, what Barna says in a tweet is, we do what we believe.
Yeah. And so what we believe is important, and okay, we attend a church, but are we learning anything? Are we actually rooted and grounded in biblical truth here? There have been significant drops from the boomer generation to the millennial generation on a number of these questions, and I'm going to address the important ones. I can't address all 20 to 30 on this segment of the Generations broadcast, but friends, this is really interesting. One of the most significant drops is in the issue of whether God is actively involved in everything. That is the oversight, the providential sovereignty of God over all things. Important question, Bill?
It is.
Really important question. Why? Because if God isn't sovereign, man is. And if man is sovereign, and inevitably, of course, government tyranny will ultimately prevail. And we see that happening again and again. The Humanist Manifesto asserted the sovereignty of man over the sovereignty of God. Very, very, very crucial to the humanist worldview that man be sovereign versus God. So what we find on this one is a 14% drop between the boomer generation and the millennial generation.
From 53% for the adults.
Yep.
And to down to 39% for millennials.
So what's happening is God is distant. God is not involved. Mm-hmm. God is not an issue. God is not sovereign to the millennial generation. A full 14% drop of that.
Almost the same amount of drop is that God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's perfect, the creator, and he's the ruler.
So that's now, dissipating too.
Yeah, that one is dropping 13%.
Okay, these are the drops, friends, for the millennial generation. We're starting to see a slow but steady drop in what the millennial generation believes about God and about themselves. This one was significant for me as well. On creation, we find a pretty significant drop from 36% down to 25% on the question as to whether humans were created by God in present form, as the Bible says.
Yep.
The only 25% of millennials now hold to that. That's one quarter. And Bill, that's important because evolution is on the rise in America. For quite some time, we were able to maintain something of a 40%, 45% of Americans believed that God created them some 6,000 years ago. Not so much.
So
for the millennial generation, again, only 25% here.
Again, we're talking about the nature of God. Let's talk about the nature of man. It says here, everyone is a sinner. The solution is repentance and forgiveness. It went from 44% down to 31%.
That's a 13% drop on that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And but the most significant, I want to end on this because this is the low point, not so much the high point, but the low point for the millennial generation. This is, of course, why the abandonment of the Christian faith amongst the millennial generation. See, there are a lot of denominations asking, why are the younger people walking away from our fairly conservative, biblical worldview-based churches? And many churches, many pastors tell me this. They've been talking to me about this for the last 10 years, saying it seems like these kids raised in these nice homeschools or these Christian schools or sometimes public schools, they attend the church for a while, but they seem to liberalize. They seem to become increasingly liberal on social issues, moral issues, etc. And they're extremely uncomfortable whenever the issue of moral absolutes are raised. And friends, this is the clincher. This is the point at which the millennial generation is apostatizing from the Christian faith, and it is in the area of moral absolutes. You see what's happening here. 22% of the boomer generation are still agreeing with the presupposition that the Bible is the most reliable source of absolute moral truth, 22%. The millennial generation, only 7%. That's a full, that's a 65% drop in a single generation on that particular issue. That's significant, my friends. A 7% of millennials hold to the Bible as the source of absolute moral truth, down from 22% on the previous generation. That's some 70% drop on the percentage in a single generation. That means between 65 and 70% of the millennial generation that grew up in a Christian home where moral absolutes was believed and taught, or maybe taught, not so much taught, but 66 to 70% of kids growing up in millennial homes that or boomer homes that still believed in moral absolutes walking away from that particular proposition of a Christian
worldview. You know what this encourages us to do? Gird up our loins and be engaged in the battle for the hearts and minds of our students.
Big time.
Yep. And that's why, again, I encourage people to check out worldview.org to see what we have to offer in coming alongside families and complementing what they teach at home with camp experience, immersed with other students who are like-minded, who have a passion to reach the culture with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They come away encouraged by that. They come to camp sometimes on their mom and dad's faith, but they leave camp owning their faith.
We are throwing the flag on the play. We're actually sounding the alarm, friends. We are DEFCON 5 right now. If you are concerned at all for your children or for your grandchildren, does it bother you that between 66 and 75, at some points, 95% of your grandkids are walking away from Christian homes? Does that concern anybody out there? These numbers are highly significant, my friends. Right now, the apostasy is falling off the cliff in this generation. It's happening right now, even as we speak. And the most significant drop, Bill, is in the area of ethics.
Yep.
The Bible as the most reliable source of absolute moral truth, that is God's law. It's the God's law they hate more than anything else. Every other indice, every other question, the apostasy drop-off was between 25 and 33%. But on this, it was almost 70%. That's a 70% apostasy rate on this issue of God's law, moral absolutes, that the Bible is the absolute source of moral truth. And this is the hinge point of the modern apostasy, the very hinge point. That is, these millennials are still somewhat okay with saying, you know what, I think everybody's a sinner. Everybody's litters. Everybody needs forgiveness for littering or for getting irritated with a sister. But the Bible cannot define sin. The Bible cannot define that sin of homosexuality is a sin, or that my fornication is a sin. See, I don't want to repent of my homosexuality, my fornication, my autonomy, my right to determine what is right and wrong. Now, the question I want to ask is, can somebody be a Christian and deny that the Bible is the most reliable source of absolute moral truth? You follow me here, Bill?
Yep.
They say, yeah, I still believe in Jesus. I still believe that he died for sins. I still believe this and this. But I will not say that the Bible can define sin. I don't want God's law defining sin. I'm not repenting of my homosexuality, my fornication, my autonomy, my right to determine right and wrong. You see, this is the very nub of the rebellion you're finding amongst the millennial generation.
Yeah, because what's really interesting here, it says that when under the topic, very important to develop a deeper relationship with God.
That's still pretty high.
Yeah, it's 56 down to 50%. Yeah, that's not that much of a drop.
No.
If they want a deeper relationship, shouldn't they understand what God's word says about having a deeper relationship? What defines a deeper relationship? How does one attain that deeper relationship?
And a deeper relationship comes by falling on our face and crying out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, that I have broken your law. And I understand I'm under the judgment of God, but I'm pleading for the mercy of Christ, and I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. You see, the gospel, Paul's gospel as defined in 1 Corinthians 15, was that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures and rose again on the third day. Now, you don't want to equivocate on any one of those words. A gross equivocation on any one of those 8 or 9 words is fatal. You cannot equivocate on Jesus died, sins, as defined by Scripture, rose again. Do you want to equivocate when the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news he came to do and to accomplish for us, you don't want to equivocate on a single word. Paul says, my gospel is this. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures and rose again the third day. Friends, do not equivocate on any of those words. Jesus died, sins. Of course, the word they want to equivocate on is sin. They want to equivocate on the word sin and thereby destroy the gospel message itself. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. You say, well, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. You'll find that in 1 John. The sin is a transgression of the law of God. You say, what is the law of God? The law of God is found in the Word of God. It is found in the Bible. It is a violation of God's will, of God's law. And so we've all sinned in various ways, but Jesus came to save us from our sin. And our sin as defined by God's laws. So sin is the enemy that dogs our heels, that brought condemnation upon us. And it is our tendency to break the law of God. So right now, evangelicalism is collapsing from, 44% of church attendance down to 4%, 0.5%. Whatever it is, it's getting lower and lower. It's falling off by 60-70% with every generation. Well, you know, if it's 4%, Bill, that's still some 12 million Americans hanging on to the faith. That's more than 7,000. So praise God that there are something like 12 million still
news hold on. Is that those who are attending, not all of them have a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. Again, only 31% of Christians in this survey have a biblical worldview.
And at this rate, if we're down to 12 million Christians who still hold on to the semblance of a biblical worldview per George Barna in the millennial generation, their kids, if they send their kids off to be educated in the same ideologies as they did, and we continue with a 75% attrition rate, as we've experienced in the last 40 years, then that 12 million becomes 3 million in 40 years from now. And that 3 million will drop off to about 500,000 or 600,000. So at this rate, the Christian faith will die out unless we raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And by the grace of God, he has mercy upon the millennial family.
Yep.
But right now, we're looking at a bloodbath. We're looking at an opening up of the wound and a gushing of the blood out of the Christian churches across this country. You can fully expect that these gigantic church buildings that dot our cities will be virtually empty over the next 20 to 30 years.
We'll look like Europe.
Yeah. However, friends, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Get radical. Get radical. It's time to repent with a vigor. It's time to go the other way. Don't use the form of education and culture that your parents and your grandparents dragged in from the world. Find a way in which you can better bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, in which the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Be sure that you engage in radical reformation today. Do it with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love God radically, and then love your children and teach your children God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. Get radical with it, my friends. And that's what we're trying to do with a new biblical worldview curriculum available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. We are bringing out a brand new biblical worldview curriculum for your homeschools and for your Christian schools. And Bill Jack also has an intensive Worldview Academy available at worldview.org. And our curriculum available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Be sure to check it out today. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.